cares. Make a decision right now. You are not going to worry about what you're concerned about right now. And make your request known to God with thanksgiving. Thank God that. Say, Lord, I just thank you that you're working this thing out. That you're working it out according to your plan and your purpose. Hallelujah. You're working in this situation right now. Therefore, I don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to be concerned about it. If I need to do something, you'll direct my path. Hallelujah. I'm making a decision right now to trust in the Lord. How many of y'all do that today? How many of you really say, you know what, we'll take this message to heart and say, you know what, Pastor? I'm going to put a stake in the ground today, and I am making a decisive dedication of my life to the Lord to such a degree that I am going to apply this word to my life, and I'm making a decision that I'm not going to worry about anything, that I am going to trust God in everything, with everything. I'm going to tell you, he's trustworthy. Amen. You can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to make it. Say, it ain't bad as what you think. Say, it's not bad as what you think.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KQJOFM. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention this morning to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7. Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7. We shall commence reading at verse 24. That's the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, beginning at verse 24. And it reads as follows. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I want to speak for a little while this morning from the subject, Can You Stand the Storm? Can you stand the storm? This writing that we have before us is a continuation of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, but as we have stated so frequently in our lessons, that it is actually the lesson on the Mount, because the fifth chapter and the second verse says, when Jesus was set and everything was ready, he sat down and he taught them. Another reason why we know it's a sermonic presentation not was because of all of the discourse that he had to deal with, all of the text, the subject matter that he had to deal with, and to bring some clarity and some light upon it, it would be too much for a sermonic presentation. And thirdly, we know it's not a sermonic presentation, but a lesson taught, is because verse 29 says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, there was a difference in the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ as opposed to the teaching of the scribes. Scribes who were like lawyers, who were very well versed in the law, in the word. They had the ability to search out the meaning and to speak from the law, the written law. But somehow, in the midst of all of that teaching, was a missing link that would link the teaching with the student. And somehow, even though they were teaching truth, the truth was not being taught as it should have been taught. They did not have the spirit of the law, nor did they have the spirit of the word. They simply had the letter or the learning of the word. And it was as being in a classroom with a teacher who knew what they were teaching but did not enjoy what they were teaching. It was as if being in a place where what was being taught was good, but the teacher just wasn't good. It was in a situation where you wanted to know more about it, but the teacher was so dead and so drab and so uninteresting, until it put a cloud over the learning experience itself, with the teacher in his or her monotone ways just simply going through it as if to say, I hope you're getting it, because I don't enjoy doing it and I ain't going over it again, so get it while I'm going through it now. And it was that kind of mentality and spirit that the scribes had, because they were more interested in their ability to break down that word and dispense it, or disperse it rather than they were with the students getting the understanding of what they were talking about. So when you have a situation like that, you have a whole lot of folk who hear stuff but don't understand what they hear. You've been in a situation where you can recall some things that were spoken, but yet with the words that you heard, there was not a down, deep understanding or comprehension of what the teacher taught. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and he begins in the fifth chapter to teach them some things. And here is the interesting thing. Jesus didn't teach them nothing new. He taught them the same things that the scribes had been teaching them. But the only difference, words that were written on paper to life. And that makes a difference when you're sitting in a place and you're hearing something that's just going across your ears, and you're receiving something that's going down in your heart. And that made a difference to the common man, to the intellectual man, to the Pharisee, to those who listened intentively, trying to receive something. Finally, there was a teacher who was teaching them something that they had been hearing all the while, but now it finally made sense. So they declared that this Jesus taught as one having authority, or another word for that was power. He taught as one having power. And if you've ever had a powerful teacher, you know it makes the teaching a whole lot more interesting.
And he spoke with power or authority, because he was not just calling off words, but the etymology of the word, the root meaning of the word, the interpretation of the word, and the spirit of the words were all a part of his presentation. In other words, he was not just talking about the word, he was the word. And it brings to mind the illustration I shared with you sometime before. It was like when that college professor was teaching about what an author meant, and he was asking each student, what do you think the author meant? And every person in the class would raise their hand and give their interpretation. He said, no, I don't think that's what the author meant. And then one person way in the back raised his hand and answered what he thought the author meant. And he said, sir, I'm sorry, but I don't think that's what the author meant. And the man said, well, how can you be so sure? He said, well, I just don't believe that that's what he said. Well, how can you be so sure that it is what he meant? He said, because I'm the author. Now, there is a difference when somebody is interpreting what you mean, and there is a difference when you're saying what you mean. And Jesus was saying what he meant, because John in the first chapter declares that he was the Word. So he had authority, because who can speak better about them than them? You know the song, you can't tell it like I can tell it what the Lord has done for you. You can tell him what you've seen him do in my life, but you can't tell it from my life, which means that the interpretation will be a personal experience, and therefore I can tell you not from an external position, but from an internal position what God has done. And so Jesus here, as the word declares, it's coming down to the end of the message that he's teaching them. And look at what verse 24 says. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What sayings of mine is he talking about? Everything that he started from the fifth chapter of Matthew right on down to here. His sayings. Everything that he has taught them. Remember, preaching is the work of presenting the truth. Teaching is the work of making the truth clear. So he's saying, I want you to hear and to do what I have made clear to you. Look at what he says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrines. Why were they astonished at his doctrines? Well, because Jesus taught like no man had ever taught before. Why were they astonished at his doctrines? Because he sought to uncomplicate texts that were complicated before his teaching. Why were they astonished at his doctrine? Well, simply because he tailored the truth that he was trying to teach so that every student taught would have an understanding that they could take that was transportable away from the classroom. In other words, no good teacher is a good teacher if what they teach us can't leave the classroom. Lord, when y'all wake up here. A good teacher needs to know that their student, once they leave the class, will take what has been taught and reinforce it through actions or through rehearsing, or making sure that once they leave the classroom, it has been given to them and packaged to them in such a retention packaged way so that they will have what they got when they leave there, so that it will do them so good when they get out of the classroom. You don't go to class all your life just to know what you know in the classroom. You go to school so that when you're through with the classroom, you can take what you learn in the classroom and apply it in the world. And every good teacher wants to know that what they teach in the classroom, that it is packaged for retention purpose, and so that it is transportable. So when the teacher say class is out, it don't mean that the information that went in is out. It simply means they can go out and use what they got in. Lord, are y'all gonna hear me here? And for the first time, folk were walking away from Jesus saying, Lord, you know, as many times as I heard that, I finally understand what he was talking about or what that scripture was talking about. And so therefore they could apply that word to their hearts, to their lives, to their circumstances, and a difference could be made. Now let's go back through the text again and just break it down. What made them so astonished was that Jesus took simple, practical, everyday things that the common, illiterate, and uneducated man to the greatest degree could understand. The common laborer, the skilled man, the intellect, the educated, everybody from the bottom to the top could understand what Jesus was talking about. Look at what he says here in his illustration. There are two men, a wise man, a foolish man. There are two houses, one built on rock, the other built on sand. He walks through the text and he shares. He says there's one who listens and practices. There's another who listens and don't even worry about the rest. Simple thing. Anything that all of us can identify with. I want to ask you a question today. How many of you know some part of the Bible that you know and still don't practice? Now, any of you who are not holding your hands up are a liar. Because the Bible says all have sinned. Now, if we sin, that means we knew something about the word that we have not practiced. Now, I know it seems, you know, that this is the place where all of us ought to be holier than thou, and everybody ought to be able to say, I do everything the Bible says, but know today that that is furthest from the truth, and the truth is here today in the word before us. If we will hear, that's to get the knowledge, and do, that's to practice the knowledge. Some of us haven't yet gotten the knowledge. We have not heard. So the first thing you need to know is you can't do till you get some knowledge to know what to do. So Jesus is saying that you've got to first hear. And the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? So some man, some woman of God has got to break the word down to you so you can hear it. And once you hear it, then you've got to have that power to practice the word. And that makes the whole word operative in your life. And so Jesus is talking about simple things that everybody can understand. And look again, everything that Jesus talks about, everybody has some experience with this, either directly or indirectly. Here he begins to talk about this text. He says, verse 25, and the rain descended. That's the rain came down. And the floods came. That meant that the floods rose. And the winds blew. That means they came against from side to side and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now I want you to note the other illustration he came. He says, and the rains descended, came down, and the waters or the floods came, raised up, and the winds blew side to side, and that house, they beat against that house, and that house fell. Now, I want to make something clear. In the illustration, all that remained the same in both illustrations was the circumstances, the storm. It means that it doesn't matter whether you're a saint or a sinner, whether you're saved or unsaved, whether you believe in God or not, there are going to be some storms in your life. Doesn't matter whether you come to church or not. Doesn't matter if you stay in the church all the time. In your life, there are going to be some storms. And Jesus was making a point. It didn't matter that the wise man built his house on the rock and that the unsaved or the unwise man built his on sand. That was not the point. The point was that they built them both, but both of them didn't realize, or even if they had realized, that they were going to experience the same things in life. The only difference was going to be who would survive after the experience would be over. Now, you know what that says to me as a Christian? Don't get to the point where you think because you're trying to live right for God, you're trying to pay your tithes, you're trying to do the right thing, that because you love God with all your heart and you're submitting yourself to the word, the will, and the way of God, that trouble ain't gonna come knocking on your door. It doesn't mean because you try to do everything that God wants you to do that he's going to redirect the storms around you. He's going to let them hit you like he lets them hit any and everybody else. But there is one comfort. What is the comfort, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. It's right here in the text. That when the storms come, if your house is built on the solid rock, when the storms pass over, you'll still be in the house. Let me tell you about people who don't realize, and maybe today after this message, you'll take an evaluation of your foundation, whether it's sand or whether it's rock, because you need to know, my brothers and sisters, that no matter who you are, what you are, where you are in life, if you have not had a major storm to hit your life, hold on, because it's coming. And my job today is simply to help you to look at the foundation that you have your house, your life, built upon. Because when it hits, that's no time for checking your foundation. Let me say again what happened here, because the Bible says the rains descended. And I want to say to everybody that into each life, some rain must fall. But can I tell you that every now and then in life, but before the hard rains come, God lets us have sprinkles. And some of us through those sprinkles are mild troubles. And some of us are shaken with little sprinkles of trouble. Some of us are unsettled with little sprinkles of mishaps in our lives. But I want to tell you that sprinkles are the lightest of the rains. Because after the sprinkles in your life, there are going to be showers. And showers can last for hours. Are y'all with me here? Showers can change your plans. Shower can make you stay inside when you had planned to be outside. Showers can cancel picnics. Showers can cancel all kind of outdoor activities that you plan. Showers can cancel games. And don't do that right now, Wilton. Let me help. Let me teach them some more. Well, don't do that now. Listen. Showers have a way of reorganizing your whole day. Because when showers come, there is no guarantee that they're going to last just a few minutes. But then what happens when the downpour or the rains, and this connotation is given to hard rains, rains that last all day and all night, rains that are hard where you hear them hurting your window panes almost as if they were knocking hard on your windows and on your roofs. And you remember those when you used to live in old houses with the tin roofs and the rain would come down? It was like beating a snare drum. The rains would beat so hard, you could hear them bouncing off the tent. I wish I had a witness here. And sometimes you go to bed, it was raining. Wake up, it was raining. All day long, it was raining. It just rained, rain, rain. And somebody made up the song, rain, rain, go away. Won't you come back? Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. How many of you in your own lives have ever experienced just a continual rain? One bad thing after another, just one thing happened and it just lasted, seeming like for days. But then listen, with this situation, the rain is just one part of it. Because when the rains come down and they saturate the ground and there's no more water to run off or soak in, then it becomes a flood. And when the rain comes down continuously, the water from the bottom starts rising up. and it rises up. As long as the rain is coming down, the rains and the waters are coming up. Now listen at this. If the rains coming down were not enough to mess up your parade, then the floods coming up were certainly enough to do it. But if that were not enough, when the winds, look at your Bible. I want to see if your Bible has what my Bible is. The Bible, verse 25 says, and the rains descended and the floods, F-L-O-O-D-S, came, and the W-I-N-D-S, winds blew, which means that it wasn't just a north wind or an east wind or a south wind, but it was what the old folk called contrary winds. That's when the winds start coming from this side, that side, and that side, and all around. And what happens many times when the contrary winds would meet up and they would get into a squall there, the winds would start turning many times, creating tornadoes many times, creating typhoons and so forth. But what happens is many times they clash when they either hit each other or they hit an object. And in this picture, Jesus puts a house right in the midst of the storm. So all of the winds start beating from every side of the house while the rain is coming down and while the flood is rising up. But the joy of that still is that you are protected in the house. How many of you ever been in a storm and you were in the house and your house made it through the storm? Rains came down, floods came up, winds blew, but you were in the house and you were safe. Wasn't that a good feeling? But let me tell you what happens when the storm just keeps on brewing and the winds keep on blowing. It begins to corrode the foundation. Now, here was an eastern country experience. The sand in the eastern country at certain parts were as hard as rock. The sun had beamed down and drew out all of the moisture out of the mud, and the mud became like a clay, and the clay became like a rock because there was no water in it, and it was solid and it was hard because there was no rain. What am I saying? You got some Christians like that. As long as there's no rain in their lives, they look like they got it together. Long as there's no winds blowing in their lives, they look like they can handle anything. As long as nothing bad is happening in their lives, they're talking about how they love Jesus. They're talking about what a mighty God we serve. They run around here talking about can't nobody do me like Jesus. They run around here lifting up hands and waving and singing and running and shouting. But oh, when the storms come, that's the time your foundation. Have you ever noticed folk who were shouting when the storm wasn't running? And when the storm come, they just sit down and just as quiet. They all sober and solemn. Yeah. You know what that says? That they can feel their foundation crumbling underneath them. And you know what the problem is about that? That they've been shouting and standing on that foundation while mocking folk who had been going through a storm. And they forgot that one day their foundation was going to be tested. And they found out that it ain't all that it claims to be when you're going through a storm, because that's the time that the real you shows up and what you built your life on is revealed. Whatever the storms may be that try your foundation, it's going to come to expose what you have built over it. The houses, that's on top of ground. But the foundation, that's underneath ground. What am I saying? A whole lot of us got it going on the top. In the natural. We know the language. We know the actions. We know how to mingle and flow in the services. But the real truth is not in the building, but it's in the foundation. Because the reality is that you are going to go through a storm. And you know what the bad thing about it is, brothers and sisters? That you can't relay a foundation in a storm. I think I ought to say that again. See, the storm is just going to test the foundation that's already been laid. If you're going to relay another foundation, it's going to be if the storm don't last too long. But you can't get out in the midst of a storm. Ever seen anybody building a house in a storm? I wish I had a witness here. Ever seen any construction people laying a foundation in a storm? I'm trying to help you understand, sir. You can't build no house in a storm.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this